You know, I want to just thank our worship team. You know, Mark and just all of the brothers and sisters, just you guys are doing a fantastic job. And I tell you, it's so beautiful and great to just hear God's people sing. And it sing with all your hearts. And again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being here this morning. You know, it's January 12th. 2020. When I was in fourth grade, I figured out that I'd be turning 50 this year. And the other day, I thought, wow, time flies when you're having fun. If you're visiting with us again, I want to welcome you to the Garden State Church. We have a goal of planting Christ in all eight communities here in northern New Jersey. We want to see eight different services like this in all of the counties in northern New Jersey. And I do believe that God is able to help us to see that become a reality. You got me. It's not working. Our newest addition to the family, little baby Ava Sanchez, has joined the team. And Pam and the little Olivia are doing great. And Vince is here this morning. Amen. But it's so great to see, you know, God working as we go down this path. You know, our theme this year is entitled Grace Roots. Because if there's something that we really desire to deepen our understanding in, is God's grace. I think we are pretty well acquainted with Matthew 28, 18 through 20. We could quote it, we lived it, and we need to continue to do so. But you know, like anything else, why you do something is just as important as what you do. In fact, I might say it's more important why you do something than just what you do. You know, the Bible says in Acts 11:23, you don't have to turn there, it says, when he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. Our prayer this morning as a staff is that we here in the Garden State Church allow and become grace-filled Christians that understand what our God has done to the depths of our soul, that it literally changes us individually and changes us collectively. That when people come into our fellowship, there's something incredibly different. And it's the fact that we've learned to live by grace, not by works. If you're a disciple this morning, you've been a disciple for years, I pray that you desire to deepen this knowledge of God's amazing grace in a way that you've never seen it before or understood it or understood how it works in your life at this stage, but that it causes there to be an igniting of zeal and passion because you're seeing God a little more clear or a little different than you've seen him before. I want to ask you to turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. And I've entitled this message, Grace, In the Beginning. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer, and we'll continue. Our God in heaven, thank you again for giving us this opportunity to come and pray to you. Thank you for allowing us to worship you, and I pray that this lesson will help us to see you in a way that maybe we haven't seen you before. You know, sometimes people think the God of the Old Testament is different from the God in the New Testament, but the reality is, Father, you are the same. And I pray that as just amazing and compelling you are through the life of Jesus, that we'll see you that way as well in the Old Testament. But more than anything, God, as we sang just a few minutes ago, that we would deepen our friendship with you, because you have showed us your love in ways that we can't even understand. And I pray, Father, again, that your Spirit would guide and direct this time. It's in your Son, Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. In the beginning. You know, we know this story. I'm not going to read it all through. You can, you know, read it at a different time. Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. In verse 3, it says, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. And if you continue to read down, I don't have time to go through it, you see God creating his creation. And after every day, God says, it was good. I remember I used to read this book to Blair, and, you know, at the end of each day, I would say, and it was very, very good. And she would smile. But the creation story is amazing, because God went from taking darkness and bringing light. And then he goes through and he creates the sky and he creates the land and he creates the seeds and he creates all of what we see and all of what we experience. The question is why? Was God lonely and didn't have anything else to do? Did God just, want to, play around? And the reality is, he did it not for his good, but for our good. And after he set everything up, in verse 26, you can read down, it says, then God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the air, in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. When we look at creation and we're marveled, I don't know about you, I love National Geographic. I mean, it literally stops me, and I'm like, oh my God, look at that hawk flying down and grabbing a fish out of the air. Or look at those two, rams, boom, hitting each other, I love the Nature Channel. Created by God. Some of us garden. Some of us take care of flowers. Where did that come from? The food that we get to eat, not junk food or the fast food, even though that's good. But everything you and I see and experience and taste, where did it come from? When you see a sunset in San Diego, what a beautiful sight. When you see a mountain range like the Rockies, when you see a tropical forest, or you see an eagle soar effortlessly in the air. Where did it come from? When I get to taste Grandma Stackhouse's buttermilk biscuits. Or your grandma's good cooking. Where did it come from? It came from God. And see, what God did was he prepared everything, and then he said, Adam and Eve, hey, I'm giving it to you. If you go into Genesis chapter 2, it says that Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. It says the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make a suitable helper for him. You know, I love the fact that God, after creating everything, saw, you know what, there's something missing here. He says, it's not good for the guy to be alone. And there's obvious reasons for that. And he created a companion for Adam. A partnership, a provider. God, from the beginning, has been showing grace over and over and over again. God then gave Adam and Eve something that they both needed. They needed something to do. They needed a purpose. And he says, okay, I'm going to put you here, and here's what I want you to do. I want you to take care of this. I want you to take care of that. And they begin to do that. And life was awesome because they were living under God's will and plan, and they were about their purpose. And it was amazing. And they didn't have to do anything to earn it. It was a gift from God. You know, man, this is not working. My first point this morning, God meets our needs. You know, when you stop and you think about your life, God has 24/7 extensions of his grace constantly around us. I asked the brothers at midweek to think about the things that God's given you in the last year. What do you have now that you didn't have a year ago? Where did it come from? But you know, sometimes we can take for granted things like the ability to breathe or the ability to see or smell, to walk, run, to hear beautiful music being sang by a beautiful person who's got the gift. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we should just be overwhelmed, like we sang, by just the basic things that God gives us every day. And praising him and appreciating, wow, God, thank you for meeting those needs. He meets our physical needs. He meets our emotional needs. He meets our social needs. He meets our financial needs. We are well taken care of because we have a God who is gracious. And he should be honored. He should be praised. He should be lifted up every opportunity we get. Because you and I know where it all comes from. God meets our needs. And you know, Adam and Eve understood that. And they were enjoying their relationship. And they were enjoying what God was giving them. And they were doing their job. Secondly, the thing about God's grace, God doesn't give us what we deserve. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Are you with me, church? For time's sake, I'm not going to read through the whole passage, but I want to make a point here that I think is kind of interesting and it's kind of funny. Well, Adam and Eve were doing their job, and then all of a sudden a serpent comes along. And he begins to talk to Eve. You know, it's not a good thing for a serpent to talk to Eve. Brothers, you're married, don't let the devil talk to your wife. Don't do that. So Satan questions Adam and Eve by saying, did God really say this? And he immediately begins to tempt them with doubt. He then goes on and he says in verse 5, Genesis 3, 5, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be able and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Now he's trying to insert in their minds that God's holding out on you. God is holding out on you. And you know what? You don't want to be kind of left without what you need. So Eve, we know, eats the fruit. And Adam's sitting right there. I can't get that. Why didn't you slap the fruit out of her hand? Because you knew and you were there first. You knew. But he was just sitting there watching his wife do what the one thing that she wasn't supposed to do. And so after that, he ate it as well. Isn't it crazy? They had one rule. And they couldn't obey it. It's a lot like us, guys. Somebody tells you one thing not to do, well, who are you to tell me what? Now, we don't say that, right? We don't do that. Internally, we may be thinking that. But it shows us a whole lot about human nature, just about being human. But as you read this story, it's comical. Because what happens is sin is now introduced into this perfect paradise. And the wheels fall off. Adam says, God, it's not my fault. It's this woman you put in here. So now sin comes in. Shame comes in. Mind you, before that happens, Adam and Eve tried to hide from God in the garden that he created. And it says that he is walking through the cool of the day and they're hiding. But God asked this question that I think we should all ask of ourselves. Where are you? Where are you this morning? I want to remind us something. Hi, my name is Russ. I am a sinner. Now, I know that sounds like AA, and let me tell you, that's some powerful stuff. Because you know, one of the things I believe we have to keep reminding ourselves is that we are sinners. We are in desperate need of a Savior every single day. And as soon as we forget that, then we tend to go on our own and think, well, you know, I've been a Christian for 20 years. I can do this. I've improved. I've gotten better. I don't do what I used to do. I'm this, I'm that. And the reality is, I'm a sinner. Don't blame Adam and Eve, although they did get the party started. But it's a reality. The Bible says all has sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But if I forget that I'm a sinner, then I might think I could do this without God. And we don't want to think that way. getting back to where are you? As if God didn't know. He conversates with them. He says, well, who told you that you were naked? And what's going on? Now, guys, if you go back into this story, God made a promise. He says, if you eat that fruit, what's going to happen? You will die. You know, this is another part of God's grace. As I said, God didn't give Adam and Eve what they deserved. Instead, he granted them mercy in the form of curses. You see that? He could have wiped the slate clean. He could have said, you know what, doggone it, messed up. These, you know, we're going to start all over. I mean, it's only two, so hey. But he didn't do that. He extended grace and mercy through curses. I mean, you know, we don't have time to get into it, but, you know, man, you're going to, you know, the ground will be cursed that you work and, you know, by the sweat of your brow. Women, you're going to have to, you know, suffer in childbearing. I mean, they were cursed rather than destroyed for their disobedience. You know, this word curse in the Hebrew, it means to surround someone with obstacles or to render someone powerless to resist. So in a sense, every good parent has cursed their children from time to time. Now, to every child, all discipline is a curse. But to a parent, it's a way to teach two lessons. Number one, disobedience has consequences. Are you with me there? Is that something that we need to learn in our society? Is that something that we need to continue to reinforce? Yes. The other thing that we need to learn is that obedience leads to freedom. And see, guys, God responded to Adam and Eve the way that good parents do, as he disciplined them. You know, we know the Hebrew writer says no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but if they are trained by it, it will lead. I'm jacking that up. I'm sorry. Hebrews chapter 12. Read it. I'm sorry. But he did that for the sake of future generations. His discipline was an expression of grace to them and grace for those who would follow. But here's another part. After Adam and Eve blew it, after God pronounced their curses, God didn't say, okay, you're out of the garden, don't want to see you again, be on your way. You've disappointed me. I'm ashamed of you. That's not what he said. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 21. Let's read that together. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and Eve, or Adam and his wife, and clothed them. There it is again. Grace. Giving them what they needed rather than what they deserved. From the beginning of time, God responded to the sin of mankind with his grace. He had a plan of salvation in the garden. What are you talking about, Russ? Look at Genesis 3, verse 15. So there was one curse I didn't read. So the Lord said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat the dust. Eat dust all the days of your life." Verse 15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." Notice something. God says he. And again, this is not a plural, but he's talking about a person that's going to come from the offspring of Adam and Eve, who's going to crush Satan's head. And we know that God's foreshadowing the coming of Jesus. And the fact that he had a plan of deliverance from the very beginning, I think God knows what he's doing. I think God has a plan. I think you and I have, our challenge is to trust his plan. Our challenge is to follow his plan and not try to change it or shape it or intervene, but to trust and to obey. He had a solution the moment that Adam and Eve blew it. A solution to our sin problem. God's plan being worked out in the garden for you and I. You know, one of the most fun things about being a Christian is to see other people become Christians. I want to share a little video. You know, I got to share a video of Mr. Johnson experiencing the grace and goodness of God through Jesus Christ. You know, I should have kept it, you know, because he had this little grin on his face. And it just, it's encouraging. The Bible says in Acts 2:38, he says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, so that you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." You know, I remember when Dee Dee came and talked to me and said, I need help here, I want to help my dad, and just the joy of helping to see her dad be baptized into Christ, how it filled her heart, how it filled Jose's heart, and Ray, who was helping to study the Bible with Mr. Johnson. Who do you want to see experience God's grace in 2020 and beyond? Is it your child, grandchild, sibling, parent, relative, neighbor, enemy? Yeah, enemies too. Friend, stranger. The reality is, we've understood something, and we continue to understand. God doesn't give us what we deserve. He gives us what we need. I want to read three passages to you, and then I'm going to give you some homework. You guys want some homework? All right. Listen to these passages. Because when you think about God not giving us what we deserve, but he gives us what he needs, it cost him a lot. But to understand this, and it says, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. My Father has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne of God saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them just like he did in the beginning. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death. There will be no more mourning. There will be no more crying. There will be no more pain. For the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit all of this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. God has something amazing prepared for us. I don't know about you, but to think about being in a place like that for all eternity is worth everything. Let's prepare for that day where it goes back to how God actually designed it to be in the beginning. Let's see to it that no one misses the grace of God. No one trying to earn their way into heaven. No one's trying to earn their salvation by good deeds. But instead, that recognition, I'm a sinner in need of grace. And my only hope is that I trust in what Jesus did on that cross for me. Guilty, vile, and helpless we, spotless lamb of God was he. Full atonement? Can it be? Hallelujah. What a savior. Amen? All right. You put this up. All right, students, take out your papers and pen. Here's your homework. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 38 and 41. Here's our memory scripture. And I want to encourage you to commit to memory. I'm going to read it, Jeremiah 32, verse 38 through 41. Now, this was written to people who hadn't done too well. In fact, their sin got them into the situation that they were in. But what God said to them is, they will be my people. It's 32, 38. Jeremiah 32, verse 38 through 41. There you go, right there. That's it. They will be my people. I will be their God. I will give them singleness of heart and action so that they will always fear me and that all will then go well for them and their children after them. I will make an everlasting covenant with them. I will never stop doing good to them. And I will inspire them to fear me so that they will never turn away from me. I will rejoice in doing them good and would assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and soul. That is the God that we serve. To him be the glory.